الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى جل جلاله when he gave the responsibility of Da'wat al-Islam to his messenger and his Habib Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he gave him the means to do that. He gave him the means of seeking his help. He gave him the means of connecting to the power. And about that he said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا إنا ناشية الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوى مقيلا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh my Habib, who is wrapped in garments and sleeping, he said, stand up in the night, except for a little bit. Stand up the whole night, except for a little bit. Half the night, three quarters of the night, and ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. Recite and read the kalam that has been sent to you. Show us what you have learnt. It's almost like a student in the Dar Tahfiz who is asked to recite and repeat and do his dar before the Ustad. You know, my person, mother said to me, "Haan suna bhai, kya bada, kal ka kya hai sabak? Kitna sikha, suna." So, bacha sunata hai. So the, it's almost like that, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sent the Qur'an, who taught the Qur'an, and he's saying to his Nabi, read, what have you learnt? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that this waking up in the night, he ashad, we know it is difficult, very difficult. وَطْعَمْ وَأَقْوَ مُقِيلًا. But this is the best thing to discipline yourself and to understand the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now think about that, that this work of Da'wat al-Islam, which we have received as a responsibility and also as an honor, thanks only and only to the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. No other ummah got this responsibility of conveying the message of Islam, of inviting people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of introducing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the makhluk. No other ummah got this because the nubuwwat had not been completed, had not been finished. We did not get it because we are better than anybody else. We got it because our Nabi is the last. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sent His Nabi, He sent him with this hotline. He sent him with this means of plugging into the power and charging the batteries. And that is the value of this tahajjud. The value of this is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this work of Islam could be done without this tahajjud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given this command. And we know from the hadith of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the first 19 ayats and then He did not reveal the 20th ayat for 1 year. So she said that for 1 year the Sahaba and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam played tahajjud as if it was fard. And remember that this Surah and this tahajjud came long before the first salah was made fard. The first salah was made fard only in the 12th or the 13th year of Risalah, whereas this one came in the first year. This is one of the earliest of the revelations. So the Sahaba were praying tahajjud long before the first salah became fard. And they prayed tahajjud as if it was fard. And only after a year Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the last ayah, which is the ruqsah. But even in that ruqsa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, continue to read Qur'an, meaning, again in tahajjud. Even though you might be traveling, even though you might be sick, whatever the situation might be, even though you might be in jihad fi sabilillah, still. And it makes eminent sense that if you are traveling for the sake of your business or your job, do you need the help of Allah or no? If you are doing jihad fi sabilillah, do you need the help of Allah or no? If you are sick, do you need the help of Allah or no? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ask for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are in tahajjud, when you are standing in tahajjud, what do? You recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You reflect on this kalam. You don't just recite for the sake of reciting, you recite long, you reflect on the kalam, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, what is it that I am supposed to do. And remember, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is approached in many ways. One is in terms of the ahkams. What am I ordered to do and am I doing it? Another one is in terms of examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us from the past for us to learn. So what are the examples of people of the past, and what are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us? How does it affect me? What do I need to learn? And the third thing is the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we connect with Him Jalla Jalalu. And of course, when we connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to know more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my slaves ask about me, I am close to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. And when they ask me, I give them. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So let them obey me and let them have iman on me, so that they may be guided. So when you are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the slave is concerned about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about obeying Him, about knowing about Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first ni'mah of asking a question about Allah is the fact that Allah is close. And then if Allah is close to you and you are close to Allah, then what do? You make dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised, and He said, you ask me, I will give you. Udu'uni astajib lakum. Ask me and I will give you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this so easy. He put no conditions on dua. In salah there are conditions. There is the conditions of tahara and the conditions of place, and with the first salawat there is condition of time. And then there is the whole the form of the salah. You have to the qiyam and the ruku and the sujood. But with dua, there are no conditions. Any time, any place, any state. And it makes eminent sense, because the slave will ask when he needs. And he might be in some dire straits at a particular point in time, and he doesn't have the time or the wherewithal to prepare himself and to, you know, wear certain kinds of clothes or to stand in a certain position or whatever. But he needs the help of Allah. So Allah put no conditions on it. Ask anytime you want. And Allah promised, you ask me, I will give you. That is the reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, He said, dua is ibadah. It's not only is it ibadah, but it is the brain of ibadah. It is the essence of ibadah. And that is the reason why to make dua to anyone other than Allah is not jais. We don't make dua to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't make dua to anyone else other than Allah, because this is ibadah. And we worship only Allah. La ilaha illallah. The dua is the essence of the matter. The dua is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught to mankind. And in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the dua. When Adam alayhi salam was sent into this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the key to come back to Jannah, because that's where he came from. And that is our destination, inshaAllah. That is where we came from, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us back home, bring us back home. This is not our home. It's our tragedy that we were sent into this world to do a particular job for a particular time. Allah sent us and said, go do this work and come back home. But we went and we forgot the work and we forgot that we have to go back home and we got lost in this place. Imagine, I mean, this is a... We got lost and we forgot that we got lost. So we consider this to be our home. One is to forget and get lost and then feel a sense of loss. You know, where is this strange place? What have I done? I came here to do something. I forgot my job. I don't know what is it. No, we are not even there. We are even worse than that. We forgot and we forgot that we forgot. So now this place we feel is our home. I'm going nowhere. This is my home. So let me build my palace. And not even your grave is yours. Think about that. Forget about your palaces. Not even your grave is yours. Because after a few years, somebody will come and they will dig up that same grave and move your bones to one side if they are still there, and they'll dump somebody else in the same place. So not even your grave is yours. So what about which palace and what not? But then we have so grown used to walking around like blind people and deaf and dumb and blind that seems natural, normal. You know, how can anybody see? Because I've been blind so long that I forgot that there is something called sight. Being blind has become my nature now. So when somebody says, excuse me, open your eyes. Eyes? What eyes? Open what? So we came here and we completely forgot. So we don't even have a sense of being lost. And that is why we need the reminders. And that is why the Anbiya came. And that is why the Kalam of Allah came. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, at least 5 times a day remind yourself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this dua as the first thing to Adam alayhi salam, and what did he give him? He gave him the key to come back to Jannah. What is that key? Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. That is the key to Jannah. Tawbah, istighfar. To ask the forgiveness of Allah, istighfar, wa tawbah, to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not sufficient only to ask for forgiveness and continue on the path of misguidance. No. If you ask forgiveness, what does it mean? It means I realize that I am going on the wrong path. So take the right path. First thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught. And if we do this, inshallah, we ask Allah to make this sufficient for us. That we have asked for His forgiveness, we ask Allah to forgive us. And that's the reason why Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this is ibadah and it is the essence of ibadah. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us how to make dua. And as I told you, there is no condition. How to make dua is the beautification of that ibadah. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala taught us how to make dua. And His Nabi taught us how to make dua. In Surah Maryam, the ayat relating to Zakariya Alayhi Salam and his asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nida'an khafiyya, in a small voice. And he glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he spoke about his own helplessness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, oh Allah, I have become old and my hair has become white and my bones have become weak and my wife is long past the age of childbirth. But give me a waris. He didn't say, give me another wife. He said, give me the wife. My wife is old. All this is my condition. It's not your condition. You are the Khaliq wal Malik. You are the creator of the universe. You make the conditions. The conditions don't apply to you. So, to glorify and to acknowledge and to speak about the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to put before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our own helplessness and our own need in the most abject manner, not because we are trying to pretend, but that is our reality. That is our reality. What Sheikh Hamza Sortsis told us last night, may Allah bless him. Says, what is our reality? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, حَلَتَ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. He said, has man forgotten that there was a time when he was not even a thing mentioned? And I've mentioned this many times in many places. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you good and healthy children and give them, make them productive and virtuous and give them long and useful lives. But if somebody has a child and that child dies 2-3 days after it's born, who do you say died? You say Zaid's child died. You don't say Bakar died. You say Zaid's child died. Who is Zaid's? He doesn't even have an identity even after he's born. If he died, who do you say died? Baby died. Somebody's baby died. That child, even after it is born, has no identity. Until it has been named and, you know, so on and so on. So where is all this arrogance of ours coming from? Allah, from shaitan pure, eh? Where this creature of Allah who is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single thing, he has no control over his own body. What is all this lectures we are getting on, you know, eat less and eat this and eat that. Why can't I eat whatever I want? And I say, all right, all the calories, buzz off. All fat, evaporate. It's my body, right? I mean, it went inside my body. I have control over my body. What's all the issue of being diabetic and all that? What diabetic? I should be able to eat 10 kilos of double gamita and say, puss, or get all the sugar, buzz off. Try it and see the fun after that. You can then do a demonstration of how to make Salatul Janaza. We have no control over our own bodies. Forget about the world. We want to control the whole world. One of my shuyukh is to say that to know exactly how powerful you are, he used to say, reflect what happens to you every morning, early morning. He said, if you have so much power, don't go to the toilet. He said, you're so powerful. He said, don't go to the toilet. Let me see how long that power lasts. I mean, see, the beauty of this is, and this is why, you know, tarbiyah is so important. Yeah, you're not going to find this in any kitab. But this, I learned it because I was sitting at the feet of somebody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us examples and He gives us opportunities to take ibrat every single moment of our lives. But as I told you, we have got used to living blind. We have got used to living blind. So we don't see. And our blindness is not created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is self-induced. We decided to take a blindfold and tie it over our eyes. Allah gave us sight. Allah gave us understanding, but we refused to understand. Allah gave us sight, we refused to see. Then who's to blame? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us with this tool, the tool of dua. And He sent us with this key to Jannah, come back. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to come back, inshallah. And He taught us this way of making dua. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put forward your reality, which is your and my abject helplessness. And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with His power and glory. Not in keeping with whatever you know. Ya Allah, I have this pain, but you know, please cure me. But then the doctor said there's no cure. And they say, I need an operation, but you know, this is not the way to make dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with His majesty and grace. All the conditions of this dunya don't apply to Allah. Ya Allah, do this because you can do it. Do it because you can do it. Give me because I am asking. You told me to ask, Udhuni. And you did not say only the Salihin should ask me. No. Udhuni. Ya Allah, I am the worst of the people. That is why I am asking you. So give me. Forgive me because there is no one who needs forgiveness more than I do. Forgive me not because I deserve forgiveness, but because this is the shan of the one who is Ghafoor Rahim. You must learn the way to do that. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi is standing in tahajjud. Before he begins his salah, he stands and he says, Ya Allah, everybody is asleep. Even the stars have set. There are only two who are awake. You on your arsh and me on this musalla. Even before beginning the salah, he is talking to his Rabb. Before he begins the salah, he is talking. Then where is the sense of being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is what is required. It's not just the ritual salah becomes Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, this is good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's better than somebody who's sleeping. So it's very good that Allah, but improve it. Get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stand on the musalla and say, where am I? Ask yourself, where am I standing? I'm going to be making sajda just now. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the slave is closest to his Rabb when he is in sujood. And he said, when the slave makes sajda, he is not making sajda on this earth, he is making sajda before the Arsh of Ar-Rahman. What is the meaning of that? What is the meaning of that? For want of eloquence, we have to give stupid examples. Because if we have access to some king or some president or some minister or some member of parliament, or all of them are today a bunch of scoundrels. So you don't give that example, Ta'alallahu al-amthal. But if you have that access, you walk on air. I can get whatever I want. Rules don't apply to me. At least in our countries, your status is known by the number of rules you can break with impunity. Seriously, rules don't apply to me. I walk through immigration, I drive through red lights, I mean it. That's a tragic state of our affairs. So how come you are afraid of anything in the world when the Rabbul Alameen, the creator of everything, gave you free access? Come whenever you want. Come in any state you want. Free access. Because we have no sense of this access. Yesterday, Sheikh Hamza said, compare and think. And he said, you can't even begin to compare. That if you have worldly power, whether it's wealth or whether it's political power or military power or whatever, what is it compared to the power of Allah? You can't even begin to compare. You know why you can't begin to compare? Because this earth, and I'm not talking about theology and belief, I'm talking about actual cosmological fact. This earth is one small planet in one solar system, in a galaxy which has billions of such solar systems, and that galaxy is one of billions of galaxies in the visible universe. And the visible universe is a minuscule part of what probably exists. So effectively, this earth, if someone was given this entire earth as his kingdom, and no one till date has been given that. The only man, the one man who ruled over the largest kingdom on the face of the earth, several times the size of the Roman Empire at its peak, several times the size of the British Empire, several times the size of the Muslim Empire at its peak. One single man ruled that, and that was his and my grandfather, Genghis Khan. One man, he created in his own lifetime the largest empire that ever existed in the history of this planet. And that did not cover the whole earth. So even the biggest kingdom was not the whole earth. But if I'm saying, imagine that somebody, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that you are now literally the king of the world. You rule the oceans and you rule all land. So what have you actually got? You have got rule over something which is less than one grain of sand on a beach. So big deal. If you get the whole earth, you have got, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shan is such that when the last of the people out of Jahannam comes out, what will Allah give him? Allah will say, go in there. He says, Ya Allah, is it full? I mean, there's so many people who went, I'm the last one. Allah says, what would you say if I told you that Jannah which I'm giving you is 10 times the size of the earth that you left, and it contains 10 times whatever your earth contained. It is not the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even to give the last of the people out of Jahannam this whole earth. It is beneath the dignity of my Rabb to give you the whole earth. So he says, I'll give you 10 times that. Go, take it. It's like sometimes, you know, you give to some beggars in our country, they come and ask, and you don't like to give him, you know, 1 rupee or 10 paisa. It's not to the beggar, it's yours. You should be ashamed to give. What is that? You give him 1 rupee, in our country, you know, the beggar won't even take 1 rupee. He says, keep it. You know, you use it to need it more than me. Keep it. It is the shan of the giver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even though you are the last one out of the Jahannam, I cannot give you the whole earth. I give you 10 times that. Go take it. That is the reality of this earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, this is Allah. So when you make dua, remember all of this. Remember all of this. Who are you asking? Who are you asking? My sheikh used to say, "Arey, dua aise karte ho jaise ke bade bhai se mang rahe ho." He said, "Allah se mang rahe ho, jalla jalaluhu." He says, "You make dua as if you are asking your elder brother or something. Wo tumhare se, he's like you, he's a little bit bigger." Said, "You are asking the creator of all that you know and all that you don't know. So ask him like as if you are asking him. Shan se mango yaar, kya hai? Shan se mango." Ask Allah, inshallah, Allah, I've got to, you give me, and I've got to show somebody, so I should show. This came from you, so give me something which I can show. You know, you get these people with these t-shirts. My friend went to UK and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. I mean, there's a thing written on it. So you don't want that. You just say, I asked Allah and I got this lousy t-shirt. No, you say, yeah, Rabb, I am asking you, give me. Don't give me for me, give me for you. You ask the way you are supposed to ask and then see the fun. So dua is direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to end, Allah put conditions on the dua. Except for tawbah. For tawbah there is no condition, anybody in any state. But for people who know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Two conditions. Obey me and have iman. When you make dua, obey me. Don't continue a life of deliberate disobedience, a life of rebellion, of rebelliousness, a life going, you know, forgetting all about the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalalu, and then say, Allah, I want this, I want that. No. As I said, that does not apply to tawbah. I mean, obviously, you make tawbah because you have been doing wrong. But other than that, we need to ensure that our lives are in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the minimum, the absolute minimum level of that obedience is an aqidah without shirk and complete following of all the faraid. Differentiating between halal and haram, avoiding of doubtful things. All of these are the foundational principles of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these are a sign that we have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah. So we obey Allah, we have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that He is hearing, knowing that He put no conditions for dua, there is no condition. You don't have to know Arabic to make dua. You ask Allah, all languages are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah in any language you want. Ask Allah in an audible voice. Ask Allah in your heart. Anyway, the only thing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't shout. A man came in the masjid, he goes, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him and he said, your Rabb is not deaf. You don't have to shout like this. Dignity. This is a beautiful religion. In Islam, there is dignity in everything. There is dignity in expression of grief. There is dignity in expression of happiness. There is no, you know, drinking and dancing in the streets. There is no throwing mud on your face and tearing your clothes. No. Everything. No matter how much the grief, there is dignity. In expression of, yeah, you have to be. If you are sad, you are sad. If you cry, you cry. But there is a dignity in that. You can't, this religion does not permit you to look like a fool in any situation. So there is dignity in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. So we maintain that dignity. But other than that, Allah has left it free. Ask and I will give you. Ud'uni astajib lakum. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you, to enable you to make du'as that please Him. And to grant those du'as in keeping with His majesty and grace. And to then give you, in addition to all that you have asked, gifts from Himself in keeping with His generosity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you examples of His generosity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show through you His generosity and His greatness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you those who the world will point to and say, see how Allah gave him and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to do all that pleases Him. And to give you the courage to do that with confidence. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you from all that does not please Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your hearts with His noor. And to fill your hearts with His obedience. And to fill your hearts with His grace. And to fill your lives with His noor so that all fear and all stress goes away from your lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you always in a state of connection to Him, Jalla Jalalu. So that you, when you walk, that hidayah flows from you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you all beacons of guidance and hidayah for all those who come into contact with you in any form. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them and to bless you and to protect you from all harm in this dunya and from all harm in the akhirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you not dependent on anybody in this dunya wal akhirah except Himself, Jalla Jalalu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the shade of His arsh on a day when there will be no shade except His shade. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree and write in your qadr that you will meet Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his house and that you will drink the water of Hawdul House of Kawthar from the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree and write in your qadr that you will follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam across the sirat into Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.